Good morning.
Good morning.
Our reading today is from Judges, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, and then 8 and 10. Hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Who of us is to go up first to fight against the Canaanites?" The Lord answered, "Judah shall go up. I have given the land into their hands." The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem also and took it. They put the city to the sword and set it on fire. They advanced against the Canaanites living in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Arba, and defeated Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. The Benjamites, however, did not drive out the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. To this day, the Jebusites live there with the Benjamites. The word of God for the people of God.
We're going to continue our study today on Jerusalem. We've been talking about new beginnings and older, maybe broken places. And Jerusalem, as we talked about last week, started out as this beautiful place. It was a great place. It had this king and priest, Melchizedek, who came out, as we read about, met Abram. And God had said that he had chosen Jerusalem. And that Jerusalem got its name not because the people named it that, but because the people around it called it that. It was originally Salem, meaning peace or well-being, which we talked about last week, but everyone around it called it Jerusalem, meaning you send forth goodwill, you send forth peace. I mean, what a way to be known as.
A people who send forth peace, a people who do good and help others. That to be known as that, it would be a great thing. To be known as a people who share and are free and are loving with their neighbors, that would be a wonderful legacy. Unfortunately, it didn't stay that way. Jerusalem, great beginning, started off, it was good, but. And you know, when you got a word like but, it sort of just throws out everything before it. You know, they seem like a nice person, but. Well, you know what's coming after that, right? You know, especially like, should I trust this person? Well, they seem nice, but, well, now you know. No, you're not going to. Jerusalem had this great beginning, but everything went south. Well, in one way, quite literally, because the people who started coming in Jerusalem started to make allies with Egypt. And instead of worshiping Yahweh, the true God, they started worshiping the gods of Egypt. They worshiped the sun. And they were now, instead of being the ones to look to give goodwill to those around them, they stopped doing that. They started only being concerned about taking care of themselves. And Jerusalem, the place that shared goodwill, became a place that took care of itself. But isn't that the truth? And don't we see that in history? We see it in the Bible, and sometimes we see it in the lives of others, and maybe even sometimes in ourselves. We start off good, but we don't guard our hearts. We don't do the things that keep us on the right path. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to guard our hearts. The churches, organizations, and individuals fail sometimes to guard their hearts and find themselves going away from their faith, going away from their first principles. And now the city that was known for a city of sharing well-being was now no better than any other Canaanite city. And by the time Joshua is ready to enter the promised land, God tells him to go in and wipe them out. Destroy the cities. Wow. What a place to be. But as it comes into the book of Judges, we see that God has said, let Judah go forth to lead the charge. Jerusalem happened to lay on that borderline between the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. Judah did their part. They came in. They fought against the city. They destroyed it. They burned it. But something happens. Between verse 8 and verse 10, something takes place. Because by the time the Benjamites show up, this group called the Jebusites have moved in, have refortified the city, and now Benjamin can't take it. The way it had been made for him, Judah had cleared it out, and now by the time Benjamin finally gets there, they can't take it. What happened? Well, the place had been beat. It was ready for somebody to take over. And somebody did. Unfortunately, it wasn't Israel. Which brings us to another scripture I want to look at today, found in Luke chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. It says, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through an arid places and seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I have left. On its return, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. And they go in and dwell there. And the final plight of that man is worse than it is at the first. Something happened. Things in this case, in what we read here, the Spirit of God has come in and cleaned out somebody's house. The demon has been thrown out. But then it's left. Nothing is put there. I don't know if you have any heard this. Nature abhors a vacuum. If you leave something empty, something's going to fill it. You take a glass, you empty it, like, okay, yeah, I left it outside, now it's full of water, snow. You empty it, you go outside, you set it back down, what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to get filled again, isn't it? It's not going to stay empty. When I was studying this and learning about Jerusalem, this connection hit in my mind. The city of Jerusalem had been prepared for the Benjamites to come in and take it. And for some reason, the Benjamites didn't. They waited. And because they waited and didn't take the city when it was ready, they lost it entirely. The Benjamites could have held, and it was by God's law, they were supposed to be able to hold the city of Jerusalem. It was supposed to be theirs. And they never held it. In fact, it wasn't taken by Israel until David took it, hundreds of years later. And the battle was hard. In fact, at that time, the residents of Jerusalem were so confident, they said, if we could sit up here with lame and blind men and hold you off. And he wasn't wrong. They weren't wrong. See, we can't expect not just the city, but our own lives to stay right just because we've asked Jesus to come in and clean us out. Jesus will come in, he'll help work in our lives, he'll help clean us out. But the problem is, if we don't do something afterwards, if we don't fill our lives with something, it will fall back into its old habits, into the old ways of doing things. We have to fill it. A fictional story told about a woman who had a dog she felt was a bit chubby. Well, he wasn't chubby. Let's say he was a ball with legs. The woman asked the vet, she saw him in the store and said, "What do I need to do?" Well, the dog asked, "Well, are you feeding anything he shouldn't?" She says, "Well, he kind of likes desserts." The vet's like, "What?" She said, "I know you're not supposed to feed him chocolate, but he really likes cream cake. And he really likes apple pie." The vet says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, stop. No more desserts. Quit giving this dog..." Vet's shaking his head and is walking off. Later, the woman catches the doctor and the vet in the store again and says, hey, the dog's still not losing any weight. He's still fat." He said, "You quit feeding him desserts?" "Yes." "Well, are you feeding him table scraps, by the way?" She's like, "Well, you know, he really likes leftover lasagna." Yeah, it wasn't a cat. This is a dog. And linguine, he just... The vet says, no more table food. Do not feed this dog any more table food. She says, "Oh, okay. Later on, the woman sees the doctor and says, "Vet, you're supposed to be a veterinarian. It's your fault. My dog died." "What? He starved." "What? What kind of dog food do you feed him?" "Dog food? You mean I'm supposed to feed him something else?" We all say that's kind of a duh. We know they should have been feeding him something right. But how often in people's lives do they try to stop bad habits, stop doing bad things, and then don't feed or don't put the right things in there? It's like, I quit reading those books that I shouldn't have been reading. I quit reading those trashy romance novels and all this other stuff. And now I'm going crazy. Are you reading something good? Oh, should I be doing that? Yes. You know, I quit watching those trashy videos. But now I'm going crazy. Are you doing good stuff to fill that time? Huh? Yes. Here's the thing. God didn't just come along and say, "Don't do." As we look at the commandments of God, God isn't just saying, "Don't do this and don't do that." He also says the things we should be doing. Because what happens in our lives is what happens in the life of the man who was demon-possessed, who Jesus warned about. He got himself cleaned up. He got that bad stuff out, but then he didn't put anything good in there. And all of a sudden, this squatter moves in with seven of his friends, or even worse. And that's what happened to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was cleared. It was ready. And now all of a sudden, the Jebusite squatters came in, and they couldn't get them out. So what is this deal? How is this deal in our lives? What does this mean for us? Well, when we deal with other people, we need to realize sometimes we want to just go in and get somebody straightened out. How many have ever been to... Maybe I shouldn't. Don't raise your hand. How many have ever wanted to go in and straighten someone else out? Quit looking at your spouses. Because they're looking at you now. Oh, I think I just opened a can of worms. There are times it's heartbreaking. We want to see God immediately deliver somebody. We want to see God come in and straighten them out because their life is a wreck. And when we love someone, we know sometimes we see things happening, and it's heartbreaking, isn't it? You see them caught in a habit or an addiction, and you want to just go in and get them straightened out now. But the problem is, if we go in and straighten them out now, and they're not willing to fill that space with something good. Some of you probably already know people who've done that. Somebody's come in and done an intervention. And 6 months later, the person was worse than they were to start with. It's heartbreaking. There have been times that I've seen things in lives of people, and people have said, come on, we need to do something. The problem is they're not ready to make the change if something happens. They're not ready to fill their lives with that something good when that bad is taken out. And if we do go in and we do somehow manage to clean out the bad, what's going to happen? It's going to become just like it was before. My grandmother was somewhat of a hoarder. Okay. She wasn't as bad as some of those hoarder things, but if she thought it was to be useful, she kept it. Magazines, books, crafting supplies, she had them all. And kept getting more. At one point, we came in and we did an intervention. She needed work done on her house. We came in, we cleaned it all out, cleaned it up, straightened it up, and it was that way for 3 or 4 months. By the time she passed, wasn't quite as bad as it was, but we had boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. Some of it may have been good. There may have been stuff that was decent. We tried to find people to take some of it, but some of it we ended up just throwing out. And it was heartbreaking. But the thing is, did we do something? Yeah. Then what happened? See, that's the problem. We did something. It wasn't her willing to change. It wasn't her willing to do what was necessary to keep it straight now that it's clean. And when we see that in the lives of others, hoarding is one thing, but there are things, other habits people have that we'd like to just, if we just get them to quit doing that. And we may call out to God and say, God, why aren't you helping my daughter? Why aren't you helping my friend? Why aren't you helping my son? Why aren't you helping my cousin? Lord, you really need to help my neighbor because he needs lots of help. Lord, why aren't you intervening here? And I think sometimes if God spoke to us and we were willing to hear, sometimes I think God does speak to us, but we're not willing to listen. God would say, they're not ready. If I go in and clean them out, they'll let that squatter back in, that habit back in, or maybe something even worse back in. And you thought you had a problem before, well, you'd end up with something is something far worse. So God tells us, no, I'm not doing it. And sometimes we sit there and think, God, why aren't you? And God is saying, I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing them a favor. Because if I stepped in and I just miraculously gave them what they wanted, they're not ready for it. And the situation at the end would be worse. Than it is now. And so in our lives, when we see what's happening in the lives of others, sometimes we've got to say, God, I don't understand. Maybe there is something we need to do. Maybe there is something we need to step in. And we need to be listening because there are time and there is a place to step in. Sometimes when we don't, when it doesn't look like it. We need to be listening to God, and God can speak to our hearts. And when we're ready and that time comes, we can come in and God can bring deliverance. But if we do it at the wrong time, we could end up with something far worse. And it is actually God's grace that says, I think with a broken heart, no. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Because if I do it, what will end up happening is something far, far, far worse. Psalm 13:1 says, how long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face for me? We ask those questions, I think, sometimes in the midst of this. God, how long are you going to wait? How long? And God's answer basically is, I'm waiting at the right time. One final illustration. True story, by the way. Knew a mother who called the pastor and said, Pastor, what do I need to do? My son, we're getting ready to go bail him out of jail again. It just, what do we do? It's just pray for us because we're just at our wits' end. Junior's back, and actually his name was Junior. Junior's back in jail again, and we just don't know what to do. Pastor said, don't go bail him out. They're like, what? We can't leave him in jail. But the pastor wasn't just talking from her own experience. She felt like it was God speaking to her. So the pastor said, do not go bail him out now. Wait till the morning. I know the family, they said that night for that family was hard. That mom and dad, they were scared for him. They didn't know what could happen. Him being in jail tonight, with us not going to bail him out, what's going to happen? But they waited. The morning came, they went and they bailed Junior out. He never got in trouble like that again. He never got arrested again. And all of a sudden his life changed. Why? Because they didn't rescue him. At that point, when they rescued him in the morning, he was ready to do the work to not be in that position again. But what about ourselves? How many, don't raise your hands. How many of you have got something in your life you wish you could really change? And maybe you're calling out to God and saying, God, help me. And God may not be doing it as fast as you would think he should. But maybe that's because you're not at the right place for it. Or maybe God has been doing something in your life. Then let me tell you something. You need to do something now. Now comes the time, since Jesus has come in and started to change your life and work in your life, not just to quit doing the bad things, but start to do the good things. To fill your life with Him and with His Word. Because when ourselves, if we don't do the work, if we don't fill ourselves up with the good stuff, then it's going to be filled with the bad stuff. One of the worst things that can happen is idle time. Now, I believe in rest, and I believe that there's a time you're supposed to just stop and quit and reflect. But there's also, we need to be careful that those times don't become a temptation. That those times when we're stopping don't become a time for us to be tempted to do something wrong. We read before from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 23:19 says, listen to my son, be wise, set your heart on the right path. We need to guard ourselves. Paul advises in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, says, so I say, walk in this by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How do you protect your heart? By walking in the Spirit, by letting the Spirit fill you. And when you do that, fill yourself with the good things, you won't be doing the bad. But we have to be willing to do that. We don't want to be like Benjamin. Oh, hey, thanks, Judah. We'll get to it eventually. Oh, hey, we're ready. Hey, we can't take it now. No. We go to God and we ask God, fill us and help us and cleanse this. We also need willing, when God does cleanse those things out of our lives, to fill that spot with something good. And God gives it to us. He gives us the Word. He gives us the things of His Spirit to fill our lives to overflowing. But we have to be willing to let Him. We have to be willing to do the work to have ourselves be filled. You can say, I'm thirsty. But if you don't go over, pick up the bottle and take the drink, guess what? You're going to remain thirsty. We've got to protect our hearts, or sin and the devil will fill it. We've got to do those things, or we will be like that one who went back and became worse. So guard your hearts. Listen and be on the right path. Walk in the Spirit. But I don't want to leave us with just a warning. Let's say God delivered us, God helped us in an area of our lives, but we haven't been faithful filling it. Things have gone astray, and we've allowed our lives to be filled with bad things again. And it seems it's even harder than before. Should we throw in the towel and say, nope? No. Because with God, all things are possible. God had chosen Jerusalem. And by the time of King David, God was ready to reclaim it. So God put it on David's heart to take Jerusalem. And David went to Jerusalem, and yet the place seemed unassailable. There was no way to take the city. So David called for volunteers to go up and take it because there was, the city had one weakness. It was through the water that fed the city. And many scholars believe what it took was crawling through this very, very tight spot, mostly filled with water, just a couple inches of air space. You crawl through this tunnel. In some places, they guess only 14 inches wide. Okay, who wants to crawl through? We were in Colorado a few years ago, and they said, you could go spelunking off the regular path, but if you before you did it, they had this block out in the courtyard. Stood about yay tall, and it was about yay wide, yay tall. And they said, if you can crawl through there easily, you can go on this trail. I looked down on it. I pictured in my mind being surrounded by it. Nope, we're not going there. Nope, not happening. Not going to happen. Nope, nope, nope. But Joab and some others said, I'll do it. He crawled through there, and then they say when he gets to a certain part, he had to climb up sort of this vertical shaft, still very small. And once he got to the top, he went over, opened the doors, said, hey, David, come on in. And because the Jebusites were so overconfident, they never expected it. And David won the city. And God retook Jerusalem. It didn't have to be that bad. But the good news for us is we may have lost the battle in the past. We may have allowed that area in our lives to fall. And let me tell you something, it's going to take some work to get it back. But God is able to do the impossible. God is able to retake that spot in your life where you think you've fallen one more time and you don't know if you can ever beat it again. What it takes is your willingness to trust Him and do the work and be faithful. And when you do that, God can do the miraculous. God can do what seems impossible. And that's the good news. The good news, He can help us get into those bad places and getting them straightened out. And because of that, we have good news we can tell the nation. Which brings us to the song we're going to sing today. We've got a story to tell the nations. Because we do have good news. You think you've fallen? You think there's no hope? There's good news. Jesus can help. You've let the bad things come in and take over? Jesus can help. He can bring His Jerusalem under His control again. Let's stand and sing together.
We've a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigns with above has sent us His Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to
And now, Father, I ask that your blessing be on each one here today as they leave this place. Let them share the good news to the nations and trust in your providence to move in the lives of those around them in your timing, in what is right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless. Go with God.